Across Tamworth and the northwest slopes and plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
I see Burger King in Belgium are doing an interesting little promotion at the moment. They give you a mask with your order written on it. In Belgium, it's the law at the moment to not go out without a mask. So the fast food chain is launching its own set of branded masks that will include a customer's order displayed across the front. Do you want that? Do you want your family-sized chips there and you're only going to eat them yourself? Your 24 nugget pack? These are limited edition, though. Face coverings are currently required at all public places in Belgium, as Burger King Belgium noted in its press release. Going out masked has become the norm, but face masks can muffle your voice, make it hard for servers to hear your order, especially in a busy restaurant. It's seeing them, I reckon. I struggle when you can't see them, because you must do a little bit of combination of lip reading as well when you're talking to someone, I reckon, because maybe it's just the muffled, I don't know, but yeah. So what you do is you walk in with your mask, and they send you order online, they send it to you. So there's only 250 of them they're going to do. You order with your mask, with your order written on your front of your mask, and they just do that. Oh, dear me. The gimmick's actually pretty solid design, they reckon, and to make a process that's a challenge under COVID-19 a lot smoother. If you're dying to ask for a Whopper in custom Burger King type, if you live in Luxembourg or Belgium, you can participate in the contest by posting your favourite menu items to its Instagram or Facebook page. I love it. It's a good little piece of marketing, that. I reckon it's fantastic. And look, I'm reading it out on the other side of the world, so it's got to be good.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
G'day, Tony. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Peter. I'm well, thank you.
That's the way now. Big news in the NRL, of course, Boyd Cordner back. He's been selected anyway.
The Eagles are looking strong for this weekend.
They are. They've got a lot of their troops back, but they're just missing that little edge that's going to help them win the comp again, I reckon, which is the Brad Verrills and the Victor the Inflictor, who are both out for the Brad Verrills. Brad Verrills is his dad, who's a friend of mine.
Yeah, I was like, Sam?
Sam Verrills. Sorry, Sam. Brad's actually his father, and he's a mate of mine. But... I knew I was going to call him that sooner or later. Yeah, I don't even know Sam. I knew him through work, Brad. And he took me to the State of Origin one night too, which was very nice of him. Thank you, Brad. It was good. Yeah, the Blues won and then went on to lose the series, as they often did back then. In fact, they always – you could say they always did back then. Of course, Anthony Seibold gone, taken the package he has. And so we'll see what happens up at the Broncos now. After the owner calls you a cancer that has to be cut out.
You're not
going to
want
to
stay.
Yeah, no. That's kind of saying, well, I'm just about done with this, I think, you know. We traveled a lot of territory this morning. Kim Jong-un, possibly dead, they're saying, or at least in a coma. Makes an interesting time for the world, I reckon, with on top of all this other stuff that's going on.
Yes, well, there are reports about his sister being even more harsh than he is, if that's possible. So I don't know whether it's a good thing or not. Who knows?
I think it's an essential thing from her perspective. If you're going to be a despot, you have to come out hard early, if I can use a football analogy there. But that's what they have to do. And then she'll have to come out all saber-rattling. She'll probably have to kill some people, and you know, if you're going to rule with an iron fist, you have to show at the start that you're not to be messed with, otherwise they'll mess with you.
Well, let's hope that maybe she changes the whole thing.
She will come out. Well, yeah, you always have the lovely attitude, but that's not going to happen. I was just speculating.
Honestly,
how one
in 2020,
family,
anything could happen, Peter.
That's true, but nothing good. I noticed there's a huge hurricane building up in the Gulf of Mexico there, heading towards the US again.
Yes, it's that time of year. Yeah, honestly, exactly. The first week of September is the most brutal week for hurricanes in that section of the world in the history of all time.
You know, there's a little bird that predicts that can predict the hurricane season, how bad it's going to be.
Really? What kind of bird is it?
It's a tiny little thing. I can't remember what it's called. It's called like a couver or something like that, that they studied in one of the states in America. And it migrates down to Mexico or somewhere down south.
Central America.
Somewhere in Central America, might be South America. I don't know. Migrates a fair way anyway. And this guy was studying them. And they're quite elusive. And he put little GPS trackers on them and all that sort of thing. And because they were just trying to work out where the hell these birds went in the summer.
Mm.
And after a few years of doing it, they realised that sometimes they left early and sometimes they left at the normal time. And he actually correlated the times that they left early with the hurricane season, because he thought these guys have got to fly through the hurricanes if they don't leave early.
There you go.
And it works better than the meteorology. If these birds leave early, then he knows it's going to be a bad hurricane season. And nobody knows how or why, but they're more accurate than the Bureau of Meteorology at predicting a wild hurricane season.
Atmosphere pressure. So I can expect if we're getting a La Nina, or there's like the likelihood of a La Nina down here in the southern hemisphere, then there would be similar kinds of atmospheric, you know, once in a every few years atmospheric pressures happening up north as well. And with climate change, they're just getting like harder and more ferocious every year.
Possible. But the interesting thing was, there was one a number of years ago where whoever the weather, I call it the Bureau of Meteorology, but it's probably something else in the US.
I think it's called NOAA.
NOAA. There you go. There's nothing she doesn't know, this girl.
I was very aware of hurricanes whilst working on cruise ships.
I bet you were. Yeah, I guess it'd be a little, better just check that today. But they predicted a good season and the birds left early. And this guy actually rang them and said, look, the birds have left early.
The birds are gone.
I'm sorry, we're going to have a bad season. And they did have a bad season, but nobody believed him. But I think they believe in him now.
Yeah.
Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM and 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
One of the most famous nudist colonies in Europe has reported a very worrying outbreak of coronavirus. What did they think was going to happen? Managers of the Cap d'Agde resort in France, where else would it be, which welcomes around 35,000 visitors every summer, 35,000. And they're not those ones, you know, they're not the good-looking ones, you know, that you see on the ads. They're mainly German, if you know what I mean. Every summer admit that the so-called barrier gestures are all but impossible among naturists. So I don't know whether they wear masks or anything. Rates of infection are now four times that of nearby communities, with 100 holidaymakers so far testing positive to the virus. It's led to an emergency announcement by officials from the department which covers Cape d'Agde. There's a department that covers them. Not many things are covered in the nudist area, which is on the Mediterranean coast near Montpellier. A spokesman for the Hérault Prefecture said, "We are in an alarming situation. Therefore, we ask that all the people of the village be tested before leaving the place and going elsewhere." Just on that note, they just had the Sturgis Festival in the US, which is a big motorbike festival they have in Sturgis every year. It's right near Mount Rushmore there. And they get 100,000 people there or more every year. It's ridiculous. They decided to go ahead with it against the wishes of the local council, the local town, the state governor, everything. They went ahead with it because they're bikies and they just do what they want, basically. They went ahead with it. They reckon now 61% of all counties in America have been visited by someone who went to the Sturgis Festival. Since the festival. So if this virus was there, it's basically going to wipe out, when I say wipe out, it's going to infect about more than half of the counties in the USA, in the entire USA. So bit of a scary time, isn't it?
Well, a hillbilly and his boy from a small hick town visit the city. They're amazed at all the modern things they see. He watches an older lady gets on the elevator and the doors close. A moment later, the doors open and a beautiful young woman exits. Man turns to his son and says, "Quick, Elroy, go get your mom."
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
Yes, and let's go to the States now, find out what's going on over there in the good old US of A. Well, last Wednesday was a very harrowing time for Chad Little and his family, but he was thankfully able to find a bit of light in the situation. Bud Light, that is. As the LNU Lightning Complex fires raged around him, Little was able to keep the flames at bay by spraying cans of Bud Light to defend his house.
I was lucky. I had a lot of family friends trying to tell me to get to leave, but I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do that. I spent 5 years getting to this point. I'm not going to start from the ground over again. As the water began approaching, Little said he had irrigation district water, fire hoses and fire hydrants, so he felt confident in being able to extinguish the fire. Not long after that, however, the water was shut off. You wonder why you shut the water off during a fire, but that's America. Then I got scared. It was kind of like an eye-opening. I could be in trouble. Then he grabbed the largest source of liquid he could find, a 30-pack of Bud Light. That was the only thing I could find. There was a lot of it, and it was wet. Luckily, I had a bunch of cases of Bud Light. He had a heap of them, and I was able to get it out. When he ripped up the sheet metal on the side of his workshop, he found a nail sticking out, so he used it to puncture holes in the cans. When I first grabbed the cans of beer and ran down there, I was shaking them up and opening them, but it just wasn't going fast enough. And when I saw that nail, I thought I'd just puncture a hole and shake as I was going. I could aim it and concentrate it on the bad parts of the fire. When a fire truck came through the neighborhood, Little said he breathed a sigh of relief and they helped with the fire that had ignited at his carport. The fire eventually rekindled, resulting in the carport burning to the ground. However, he did manage to save his house with his several cases of Bud Light.